The New York Times science section rounded up a bunch of ideas on how to improve science education in the United States and get students at all levels more engaged. Our next guest answered their call, and she's here to share her ideas. Catherine Drennan is a professor of chemistry and biology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you focused in your piece on the way science is taught, in particular the historical method. And I remember that from some classes where we learned who discovered what, when, and how. I could see some upside, but what's the downside of that approach?
Well, it seems like the subject only happened in the past. So if you're only telling people about discoveries in the 1800s, they may think that, you know, chemistry is like Latin. It might be a sort of an intellectual pursuit to learn it, but there's no sort of use for it today.
And another thing you mentioned is that it may keep a more diverse audience away from getting interested in science. Why is that?
So there are a number of studies that show, say, for a lower socioeconomic class, that having seen kind of the direct applications of the thing they're studying to careers is important. They want to know what this is used for, how this is going to help them have the career that they want to have. And if you're talking about things that happened way in the past, it's like, well, I'm not looking for a job in the 1800s, so why should I know this now? And for a number of women, studies show that there's a good predictor of staying in the major if the women see the relevance of this material to everyday life.
Now, you've got some outreach programs going on, and I'll get to that in a minute. But when you're actually teaching a science class, say, to undergraduates, how do you incorporate this idea into your teaching?
So I teach freshman chemistry at MIT, and what we started doing first is we just tried to present some of sort of what is current research in the class and just describe it and say who is doing it and why. But then we took a sort of a step beyond that and said, could we have the people who are actually doing the research, the undergraduates, the graduate students, tell about why they think this basic chemical principle is important and how they're using it for a real-world application? So we came up with this idea of sort of 2 to 3 minute videos where we would just kind of go around campus and find students who are willing to talk about their research and videotape them and bring those videos into the classroom and say, you know, this undergraduate may live down the hall from you and hear why he thinks that acid-base equilibrium is an important topic.
Well, you've also shared a lot of those on your website, and I pulled a few shorter excerpts from them. Let's hear Stephanie Sidlick. She's describing the work that her research team does.
The research that we're perhaps the most well-known for is for sensing explosives such as TNT. New, bigger, better explosives have been developed, and two of these are RDX and PETN, and these kind of have more bang for your buck, if you will. Unfortunately, they have an even lower vapor pressure than TNT, which means there's even less molecules of the explosive in the air, and it makes them even harder to detect.
So in the rest of that piece, she goes on to describe the chemistry behind how her team tries to detect chemicals used in the processing of these explosives. So I've got to wonder, does a student get a lot more excited about learning the chemical equations and the chemical formulas when they associate it with detecting explosives?
Yes, our data definitely shows that once you tell students why this is of value, and even if they're not particularly interested in that application, the fact that there is a reason to learn it, that someone is using it for something that's important, has a tremendous impact in their desire to learn it.
How have you been researching the impact, how that affects students?
So we've been working with the Teaching and Learning Laboratory here at MIT to design surveys, and also so we've been collecting data from surveys, but also doing interviews with the students who have sat through a class where, you know, in half of the class there were no videos, and the other half there were videos, and sort of asking them questions about the learning impact and of the lecture and their inspiration. And it's really been very informative. And so I'm not an expert at that. You know, I'm a chemist, but it's been absolutely great working with Rudy Mitchell, who is at the Teaching and Learning Laboratory, who's a PhD in education, and talking together about how we can assess the value of this.
Anecdotally, what do you hear from your students? Are they saying, hey, this is way more fun than I would have thought?
Yes, they are. And, you know, I actually started the class telling them, I confess that I did not like chemistry the first time I took it. In high school, I didn't see the relevance of it. And so later, I had a wonderful college professor, and I was interested more in biology, and I didn't see that chemistry was relevant. But then when I saw the relevance of chemistry, it just completely opened my eyes and really changed my life. And so I tell all of them, you know, everyone finds their love for chemistry at some different point in your life, and so I'm going to help you in this semester see if we can help discover your love for chemistry if you don't have it yet. And so, you know, some of the quotes we've been getting are really, really wonderful. That one of the things the student said was, these students on these videos, it wasn't like some godly researcher that you would never be close to. It was like, okay, this is a person. I could probably talk to this person if I met them in real life. That was kind of neat. So they had this sort of, I don't know what they thought exactly chemists were before this, but then when they were seeing these students, they're like, yeah, I could be friends with that person. And so that's a wonderful thing. And many of them also comment about how young they were and that they were doing really important work. And that made them think, I could use chemistry to do something really important because I look like that person and I'm interested in that. And I want to solve the energy problem, or I want to detect explosives. And I'm learning these things, and it's basic principles. So maybe I could do that too.
Huh. Well, that first example we checked out, there was somebody describing her work. I've got a couple more, and this is the other half of the video thing that you're doing, of people talking about their love of chemistry. Let's first listen to a bit of Hector Hernandez.
I did not know that I was always going to be a scientist. I grew up in a household where there was art and there was history and there was languages, but there was never really science. But I remember watching TV when I was growing up and seeing Jacques Cousteau and the man go up to the moon and all these other things that really, really sparked my excitement.
So why is it important to hear a personal story like Hector's to engage people in chemistry or other sciences?
So we decided to do the personal stories partly because I had been involved in a program at MIT where high school teachers came and I was giving them a tour of my research laboratory and telling them about the research we were doing so they could kind of bring that back to their classroom. And they thought that was great, but they would stop and sort of interview the students in my lab and say, well, how did you decide to come to MIT? And, you know, what was your background before you came? And they really wanted to take back to their students that, you know, some of these people at MIT, you know, they got a B once. You know, there weren't necessarily straight A students, or there were no scientists in their family. Just because you have no scientists doesn't mean that you can't go to MIT. These students had all sorts of different backgrounds. And so they were so fascinated by the personal story, and they wanted to share that with their students. We thought, well, while we have these students on camera, let's ask them, you know, how they ended up at MIT, how they got interested in science. And we had just these 12 people picked based on their science they were doing, and all the stories were different, and it was completely fascinating.
We'll listen to another story in just a moment. I also wanted to invite listeners, if there are science teachers out there or science students, to head over to our Facebook page, Central Time on Facebook. How do you think we can improve the way we teach and learn science in this country? What are you doing in your classroom? That's Facebook. We're Central Time on WPR. Going to give a listen now to another personal story from Nozomi Ando. Let's give a
when
listen.
When I was younger, I read a lot of comic books, and I read a classic series on ninjas. And I really wanted to become one, actually, as a result. I really liked the idea of having a long apprenticeship and becoming an expert ninja, and I'm trying to apply that same sort of philosophy to science.
I love that one. She wanted to become a ninja, and she saw parallels in science and ninja-ism, if that's a word.
Yes, I think that it's actually, I hadn't thought about it that way until I heard her say that in the video, but it's true. I mean, it is an apprenticeship, and you do sort of learn from the master as sort of the professor in the lab and in the environment, and it is. There's not too many other things like that where, you know, as a graduate student, you've finished taking classes, you're really in the lab learning about the research world and studying under somebody to become an expert. And it is like that. And it is a it's a real fun way to think about it.
Now, you're at MIT. I think of this as one of America's brainier science-type colleges. But do you think these lessons will work at the high school level? You mentioned high school teachers a minute ago, even mm-hmm. at the junior high level, say.
You know, I think it will. We have been talking to a number of high school teachers and showing them these videos, and the reaction has been, you know, hugely enthusiastic to have these sort of little snapshots in that connect, you know, just sort of a list of what are applications of chemistry, and they can look through them and say, you know, we're interested in sort of diagnostics for cancer, or, you know, alternative energy and all these different things, and having this to inspire people that this is important what they're learning. But, you know, also these stories. And I think what's so important is that very few of the people that we interviewed said, you know, that they had any idea kind of starting off that they were going to end up at a place like MIT. And they all had these different paths, and that, you know, it's not sort of this, you know, this sort of faraway, mysterious place that, oh, I would never be smart enough to go there. Most of the people here thought that. You know, so if you're passionate about science or you're interested in science, you know, you shouldn't set limits for yourself, you know, see what you can do. And I think those stories will be, I hope, really inspirational to students at all levels.
Well, it seems like what you're trying to do is kind of have this big mindset shift from, yeah, I've maybe taken a couple science classes, but scientists are fundamentally unlike me, to maybe I'll be a scientist, maybe I won't, but it's within the realm of possibility. That could be me someday.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we want people to see themselves as scientists and see that there's all sorts of different scientists, and the things that we're doing are relevant and interesting. It's not a dead subject. It's a vibrant subject that is going to be – it's so important. There's so many problems facing this world, and we need people with chemistry skills to go out there. And one person did say about the videos that – I saw that there was an actual impact in what they were doing. They were changing the world. That's important to me. So we hope more people feel that inspiration to go out and tackle the tough problems of the future with a solid foundation in science and math.
All right, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Catherine Drennan. She's professor of chemistry and biology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.